Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hi, this is Carl. Welcome to another SMB Community Podcast. I have a very special guest today, Dave Sobel. And, you know, Dave is one of these people that, first of all, I've known him for a long time, but also he's always in the early stages, an early adopter for new technology. And I mean, we did a presentation, I think it was almost 20 years ago, on virtualization and getting to the cloud. And it was before its time. But even back then, Dave was already a Microsoft MVP for virtualization. So, you know, once again, he's done it with artificial intelligence, and I'm glad he has. So thank you for being there. Here, is there anything I missed?
Oh, you've said so many nice things. Thank you, Carl. I mean, that is very nice. Now, of course, I'm doing the Business of Tech podcast, which I do every business day. And you can catch all of that kind of stuff at businessof.tech. But I'm excited to come and talk to you a little bit about the AI stuff.
Very good. So I'm going to post up a link to a video that you made that I just love. I put it in my newsletter and I've been promoting it. And I want everybody to go watch this because it's a true application of AI that's not just, oh, you know, give me a picture of a cute monkey or, you know, make me look 20 years younger. It's like, okay, nobody cares about that stuff. How do we make money in IT, right? And I think that you've given a really great example of that. Let's start with, why did you make this what I would call explainer video?
Well, it was almost exactly what you've talked about. So I cover a ton of AI, right? And I keep looking and saying, like, yes, I think there is something really interesting happening here in the AI space. And I leaned in really hard and I started figuring out the areas that it would make a difference for me in my business. And I always like to remind everybody, like, I run a media business now. Like, I was an MSP, I was an MSP vendor. Technically, I run a media business right now. I'm in the business of creating content on a regular basis that I want MSPs to consume. But I spent a lot of time thinking about how that workflow does. And I've taken all the MSP stuff, the way about process and standard operating procedures and the way you think about that, and I've applied it to my media business. Well, there's always areas to make automation better. And for me, AI has been able to do a ton of that. And as I keep reporting it, I keep hearing lots of people talking about AI, but not enough people giving me like actual use cases. Like, what are they actually doing with it? And lots of people are just out there, oh, it's going to change everything. Yeah, but how? Like, that would be nice to know. And I noticed for me that it actually has changed a lot. And I really just came to that conclusion of, I bet I could just tell everybody and it would be super useful for them to see how a single workflow can be completely transformed by the use of AI and still be really valuable and still have all of the pieces. And it's not just magic to make everything better. It's specific choices I made along the way that accelerate the process or make my capabilities wider. Anyway, the idea, let me show you how I do it. Because I really think that particularly in our space, you learn by kind of modeling other people's ideas. And I hoped I would say, like, here's mine. Go forth and build on top of that set of ideas your own process.
Right. And so you list out the specific tools you use, what you use them for, the order in which you use them. I mean, it's a... It's the whole pull back the curtain. This is how, you know, the sausage is made sort of thing.
Yeah.
So how did you find the tools? Did you like go to AI and say, what tool would I use to find all the articles on technology in the last week?
I mean, I kind of have to smile and go, I kind of have made it my job to keep an eye on what's going on in the space, right? So there's an element of like, I'm constantly keeping up. And I believe like anybody in their own space should constantly be looking and iterating and understanding how your own stuff can done. Mine really was each of these pieces came over time. I mean, I've been doing the show almost 6 years now. And if I go back, the process is still very similar. The actual manual steps to do it, gather news, synthesize it, organize it. But each of the way, I constantly was finding a new way of doing that portion, that step of the process better. And I kept just chaining them together to make this better bit. And each time it's the, oh, I've seen a tool that does that. Oh, I have this problem. I'm going to go solve that problem, or I'm going to work on this piece. Particularly, and I get into a lot of the specifics, introducing Notion into my workflow was a really big deal for me. Like figuring out, like, oh, there's so much I can build on this base. For anybody in MSP land, it's kind of going from like not having a PSA to having a PSA. Like that was Notion for me, was the, oh, I can, rather than have to just use some spreadsheets and I organize this, hey, I can build a back end for this that makes the whole platform work.
Right. Well, and we always start with the technology we know, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the Excel spreadsheet, right?
Right. So, and we're on top of that, or just, by the way, process. Like, I kind of laugh and go, like, I mean, I'm just writing stuff, right? I'm writing articles. So where did I start? I wrote Word, like, right? And there's still bits that are done in Word, right? Because it's just, I haven't replaced that. Now, there's a ton of automation in Word. Like, I've gotten way better at the scripting and the macros and all of that. But you just start with what is the work you want to do, and then you figure out how you automate that work.
And did you start at the end or the beginning? You know, they always say like, oh, so what's the final product? You know, where am I going?
Right? So it's interesting. I always start from the end. So it is in, for me, there's an element of like, I know what I want to create. I can say for me, it's really, I've been very intentional on the way that I've built the podcast from day one. I hope it comes out in the level of polish and professionalism that I put into what I do. But I've always said, like, I want this to be like this. And I'd envision, like, the first show, you know, the news show was like, I want it to be serious, like a news show. And I want it to be tight. And I want it to be scripted. And I want it to people to watch it the same way they might watch the news. But it's a podcast, so I'm going to do audio first, right? Like, it was that. But then I added video, and if anybody watches the video, like, that's why I have elements where, like, there are lower thirds graphics, there are fly-ins, there's that newscaster look to it. Like, it was all very, like, I know what I want it to look like, and then I worked back to, well, how do I create that?
Well, thank you for not putting, like, the Minneapolis skyline behind you, right?
Well, and plus, that wouldn't be very authentic. Like, it's interesting, like, you know, you laugh about the silliness of that kind of stuff. Like, it's my office because I figured people want to know the space I work in.
Right. Right?
Like, that just felt kind of cool, is I'm going to do it in my office with the look of my space, because I don't want to overblow. Like, I'm not a massive, you know, multi-million dollar media organization. It's me. And I want that to convey with that, but that doesn't mean that I can't have the polish and, you know, you'll note I'm well lit, I'm well mic'd, I'm well, like all of the details, right. You go into that, but it doesn't mean I have to, like, you know, go to some crazy extreme to make it. It's not, let's just do it authentically.
So it's also a great example of meshing the online world with the so-called real world. You know, you have tools and equipment in your office. Physically, you can touch the microphone and the keyboard, yes. Right?
Right.
But you also have this stuff that's online, and you rely on cloud services. And, you know, there's a lot of computing power up there.
Right.
Down here. And so when MSPs are thinking about this, how do they begin to get their mind around, okay, like, what do I do with my clients? Because they've got technology we control and technology we don't control. And, like, how do you begin thinking about how would you put together a way to sell something to clients that you can use the word AI just so you're buzzword compliant?
Yeah, I mean, so the way I would think about it really is the, you really want to focus on, like, hey, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, all the, it comes, I mean, we've been saying this thing for 25 years, right? It's the, like, well, what problem am I solving for the customer? But the best way to do that is get really close to the customer and really understand, like, what they are trying to accomplish. You asked it literally a couple of moments ago. Dave, what were you trying to create? Well, I'm trying to create a show that looks like this, right? Like, and what are the steps that go into making that? And you get really deep into the understanding of what the customer is building. And then you start going, like, okay, well, how do I use technology to make that better? You know, AI is the buzzword. Oftentimes, I mean, I'm looking at this sort of saying it's kind of just smart automation.
Right.
Is another way of thinking about this. Now, there's elements of the generative AI side that are pretty powerful. I'm able to do stuff now with generative AI that I wasn't able to do in automation before, particularly when you think about it in terms of, remember ChatGPT, T stands for transformer. Like if you're transforming one type of language into another, like, paragraphs into sentences or scripts into social media or whatever that is, it's very good at transforming if you give it definitions of the way you want it to do it. And so I think that the new bit is, hey, we can take a lot of customer information that we didn't used to be able to, and we can help them understand it, manipulate it, work with it in a lot of interesting ways. I went through my process because you can sort of see like how I'm pulling information from the internet, reports, news stories, and I am transforming it into my particular style. Like even down to the, I talk about the fact that the prompts are, hey, I like my news this way. And I like to, it has to summarize what the story is. I want supporting data. I want citations clearly defined where the source of everything is. Like I have a very defined style and it helps me transform into it. So you think about it in that way to apply it to your clients.
And before AI, which oddly enough was not that long ago, but no. You started with, I want to watch that source and this source and this source. And as a human being, there's a limit. There's literally maybe a dozen that you could get through in a day and maybe 50 in a week. How many sources can AI look at for you?
I mean, a lot, right? Like, I mean, there's a certain degree of process. So I'm keeping an eye on over 500 sources right now. And I keep adding, and I always am adding sources, right? And the idea is I'm using tools, my own automation, to get that stuff organized, right? So it's organizing it by story so that the AI can go, oh, this looks similar to that. And it's doing some initial, it's doing initial grouping so that I don't have to read the same story 50 different times, right? Right. Maybe I'll read it five different ways where it's here's five sources. And then within that, you'll get the 20 different, versions from each one. So that means I can go through a lot more sources because it's doing the organization for me. That's the bit where I find it's kind of useful is, as you're getting this organization pre-organization that still requires my critical eye to go, yeah, that story's interesting. That one isn't interesting. That level is where the human brings value.
Well, one of my consistent themes for going out to the world is that there's so much information and it's growing so fast that you are either contributing to the noise or helping your clients filter the information. And I think that's a key role that MSPs can play. I mean, we do it kind of like if you think of like a newsletter, my newsletter will say, okay, there's a billion things going on. These are the six that you're
right.
Right. Part of your goal is, all right, I'm filtering the universe. Let's do it as efficiently as possible. Does AI find things that you know for a fact you would never have seen if it wasn't doing the initial search of 500 sites?
100%. I'm totally seeing stuff that I might not have seen before. And its ability to process stuff is also part of that. I'll just give you an example. I challenge you to find any other MSP or somebody focused on the MSP space that's reading all the like Portuguese MSP sites. They're all in Portuguese, by the way.
But all the MSPs in Portugal are.
They totally are. But I know most, majority of my audience is in North America. But by the way, there's some interesting stuff over there, right? Like they're having discussions and news that is different. I'm able to process that because the AI is doing the translation for me, and then it's also including that in the grouping. I can watch a bunch of stuff across Asia. I can watch stuff, across markets that, I'm watching a bunch of stuff across Africa. Again, I don't think most U.S. organizations are really thinking about that, but I just want to keep an eye on those markets to see what's emerging, what they're talking about, and synthesize it in with the overall coverage. And by being able to do that, it can group those in too, and then also find that's an exception. Like that story isn't getting covered in the U.S., but I think it's interesting and I want to make sure that I'm pulling from that, right? And so I get to see a wider set of sources. Both it's emerging stuff that I might not have noticed because of the size and scale, but also because I can do so many more, I'm also seeing stuff I wouldn't have normally seen.
Now, one of the things that you do a great job of is to look at numbers. You're big on, okay, let's, what are the stats? What are the numbers? You know, proof, show me what's going on. You know, I say something, but here's a number to back it up. One source might say, oh, here's the numbers. And if they give you literally numbers, and the next source is going to give you statistics or first, second, third, or they give you an ordinal ranking and don't mention the numbers until like the last paragraph. Does AI help you figure out, okay, somewhere in there, there's two different versions of reality, and which one is my, and like, how does it help you? Like, how does it?
It totally does, because built into the prompts are my lens, right? The, I want, you know, first source data. I want, I explicit the kind of things I'm looking for. In your example, like, I want sourced data. I want it to come from primary sources. I want it to be not comparative as much as absolute. Like, I have certain rules that are built into the way that I look at it so that I can get better data. That's also, I mean, again, you can always play with this kind of stuff, right? It's all in the interpretation of the data is the interesting thing. I so lean into data because, you know, from my perspective, you know, opinions, everyone has one, right? And they're better with data. That if I can back my, if my one backed up, my opinion backed up with data goes against your opinion that has no data, I win. Like, just flat out, right? Like, it's my opinion is better because it is informed by data. And so I want to give those informed opinions to solution providers and MSPs so that they can do it from that perspective. I use the AI to make sure that I'm interpreting it correctly and that it is doing that primary source data.
All right. Let me shift for just a minute and talk about the business of tech. So for those people who are not familiar with it, you started out as a 5-minute podcast, and now you really are kind of the news source. I mean, I don't know if anybody else who tries to be the news source and is not owned by a big corporation that doesn't actually care about SMB, or a vendor who, you know, is only going to tell you their view of the world, right? It's hard to find a really good unbiased, and I can't promise you're unbiased, but, you know, willing to...
Smiling, I am totally biased, right? But I try and be really transparent about what my bias is. Thank you for saying that. Like, you're kind of right. Like, that is literally the mission, is the, hey, I want to be the one sticking up for MSPs. I always talk about being the voice of the solution provider, right? And so I think a lot about my audience as those people, and I want to be the most valuable 10 minutes they spend in the day. But literally, it's just the way I think about it. I want to deliver more insights and analysis in 10 minutes than they can get anywhere else in their day. That's what I'm trying to do.
So when big news hits in the SMB IT community, you want people to say, I wonder what Dave says about this.
100%. And I actually also then temper that by immediately saying, and I don't have to be first. Like, I'm not, I want to be informed, not necessarily first. Amusingly, I look at what we do and I go, like, very little is like super urgent. There's an element of like, I'm going to say like security stuff is super important. And I hope I am not your primary source for like breaches, right? Because they like, that should be, you know, CISA or like that should be CISA, right? But what you want from me is the analysis. And in order to do that, sometimes it has to breathe slightly to make a moment of like, okay, I'm going to look at everything. I'm going to synthesize the information. I'm going to make sure I'm well-informed. And then I'm going to present you like a good idea. So I really do think about it exactly the way you described it. I really hope that people go, I wonder what Dave thinks.
Right.
And not to be right, just to like give a good informed opinion so that you can then form your own.
So business of tech, you have the daily podcast, then you have interviews, you got a Patreon so that people can get certain things a little earlier than others. What else is going on at MSP Radio? Because you've got a site that looks like a news site, to be honest with you.
Well, so businessof.tech is the news site you want to be going to, and that is designed to be that. And you can get everything that I do either by subscribing to the YouTube channel or by subscribing on your favorite podcast player. I do three kinds of shows that are distributed on both of those platforms. The first, as you mentioned, is the news show. Every business day, roughly 10 minutes, usually 12 now or so, but roughly 10 minutes of news and why do we care? I do interview shows where the premise is you're an MSP, you don't have time to go seek out interesting voices that you want to get alternative insights from, I do that work for you to try and bring on voices you may not normally hear. And then the third type of show I do is I do live shows. I do those generally Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to show up and ask questions, it's a great place to do that where you can get live, or you can listen to that content when it drops, you know, immediately on the YouTube channel or make it available on the podcast feed. And on that show, I like to have other journalists and analysts on where we like bounce around ideas. And it's a good space to ask us questions. So that's the bit. You can also follow me now on LinkedIn if you want to get all of the content. And I'm starting to put out on Fridays, I put out like a summary newsletter of like, here's everything we covered this week, so that you can get a sense of like, hey, I want to dive in or out of the content.
And do you maintain some kind of, you know, database that you continually train your AI on, you know, things that are changing or tweaks to the system or anything like that?
The answer is yes, I do. In fact, like what I've been building out is, you know, in my back end, there are several databases that track all the stories that I'm tracking, all the MSP discussions, all the vendor announcements. Like I have all of that stuff in a giant database so that when I need to do analysis, I have all of the historical context to be able to ask about. So something happens, I don't want to just be trying to remember it all. I've got databases that can do that. You can appreciate that there are also opportunities for me able to do sort of specialized research, or like if somebody comes to me with a very specific question, I can dive into that and actually have data and analysis to be able to present around it.
Well, and if a story that maybe you didn't think was important 3 months ago suddenly bubbles to the top, you're like, oh, I've actually got information about that.
100%. In fact, I keep my rejected stories. So like, because not everything makes the show, right? I have lots of things that I throw in the database thinking, oh, that could be, that's interesting, that's interesting, that's interesting. Bunch of stuff gets cut. That doesn't mean it gets deleted, right? It gets held on to because there was a reason I thought it was interesting. That's probably, and then I become very generous to myself of like, just throw that stuff in the database. It's okay if you don't cover it. It might be useful later.
And do you think agentic AI saying, hey, go get me these stories, put them in this database, and then I'll, you know, develop the next step in the automation? Is the agentic piece probably the easiest place for people to get started?
So it depends on where, right? Because the interesting thing about what you wanted to talk about is I want the agent to show me as many stories as possible and my human insights be the filter. I don't want the agent to get too smart on the filter because some of it's just intuition, right? And you want my decades of experience in the mix there. And of course, I do want to train the agents with as much as I can about the way that I want on the filter. But I don't want to push myself so far out of the loop that you lose the human insight element of it. So it's an interesting balance of, I want the agents to present me more so that I can be the filter as opposed to it act too much as the filter.
Right. Well, now, let's talk about MSPs and what they would do to build a business, you know, or at least an offering around this. You have a background in computers, which is like you have a degree and you know a little bit about scripting and programming. You may know a lot about all of those things, but do you need that in order to use this stuff to be really good at it?
No, but it does help. So I think what's interesting is most of these tools have gotten to be really smart. I ultimately think that what more useful skill that I bring is a little less the I know how to code and a little more the I know how to think in logical process steps. I ultimately think that's the real element of what I'm doing, which I think most MSPs would be quite good at. A lot of customers not always so good at that, particularly not good at translating processes into, you know, technology automation. So for MSPs, there's an element of like, hey, you've been really good at standard operating procedures, thinking about this in repeatable formats. Like, take those skills and apply them here is the best match that I can think of. And so I would think it's like, you know, a muscle you're used to flexing.
Right. Well, we had a generation of people who basically their entire job was taking paper and turning it into, you know, zeros and ones. You know, we digitized the universe. We put everybody online. We got them connected to the cloud. And some MSPs are a little bit bored because it's not really as exciting as it used to be when we actually solve problems. Too many people are selling, okay, here's my checklist, pick one of these and we'll implement it this afternoon, right? So when an MSP is looking at offering something, what would you recommend, because you have the MSP background? Like, how do I go to a client and say, what problems do you have? Don't think about AI, just what problems do you have that I can help you with, and get back to that concept of solution providers, right? We want to solve problems because ultimately that's where the good juicy money is.
So I would almost flip the way you have the conversation, because the way you discussed it was a little bit like, hey, I want. People love talking about themselves.
Right.
Right. And your customers are proud of the businesses they have built. Give them an opportunity to tell you about the business they have built, and just let them talk.
Right.
Let them talk. And then ask good follow-up questions. I will sort of smile and go like, I always think this is an area I continue to learn. Listen to good interviewers and listen to some of how they ask more questions. And sometimes they're really simple. Huh? Tell me more.
Right.
Like, yeah, just tell me more about that. And you get further and further down into understanding it. And amusingly, like the other bit about this is, like, customers are passionate about what they do. They want to share it. They get excited about that kind of stuff. And when someone is genuinely interested, which if you're a trusted advisor, I hope you are genuinely interested, you'll learn a lot. This is the whole, like, the joy of learning portion of this. If you're bored, go learn stuff. Go learn more about your customers and what they do, right? And how, and then the more you learn about it, the more you'll discover, just by tripping over it, oh, they do have, like, stuff that doesn't work very well. And by right. the way, the more you ask, the more they'll start telling you about the bits that don't work.
Right. Yeah, I mean, one of those questions is obviously, so what are the challenges? Or that must be difficult. Or, you know,
right. Or as simple as, that sounds hard. Right? Like we almost overthink the questioning. Some of the best questions are super simple. Tell me more. That sounds hard. How do you do that? Like, how does that work? How does that make any money? Like, sometimes put yourself back into your inner 8-year-old when you little kids are great at this. Why? But actually they're learning, right?
Right.
You want to sit in that space. And the joy of an 8-year-old also is they genuinely want to learn. Like, they're trying to fill their brain with as much stuff as they can. Kind of channel your inner 8-year-old a little bit, and you'll be fascinated by what you learn.
So everyone should watch this video, and that's step number one. I honestly believe even people who are not in tech, it gives a really good overview of, like, AI is more than just the generative, hey, you know, write me a poem and put it in an iambic pentameter. Right. It's way, way, way more than that. And that's been kind of the public face of AI for a long time. So what's the second step? What should an MSP do after they watch your video?
I think the second step is you want to start thinking about how it can help yourself. I mean, I think, you know, the and I'm going to use the drink your own champagne version of this, right, is the you get good at this by actually figuring out some of yourself. You have things that it can help with. You can have it help with. Can it transform incoming tickets? Your vendors may start being applying this, understand a little bit about how that works so that they can come in a bit of a standard format, right? Customers are a little messy with their writing. Wouldn't it be great if it came in a standard format? Wouldn't it be great? And then also you probably can do some of the initial bit, like maybe you can pull some initial research for you and prepare and do some of the prep for you. Think about the ways that it can help with your own, like, how can I use it to communicate with my customers a little better? How can I make it to, you know, run it through tests? I write a lot of validation tests in the way that I do. One of the bots I mentioned is that I have one that literally asks, is this story complete? Like, did I get everything? You can use that on your own stuff. Did I write this in a way that a non-technical user will understand my explanation?
I like that kind of what's missing. What did I not get in.
Yeah, what did I not do? it's a useful tool to bounce those things off, and that's where it starts getting into, hey, I can start infusing things into my process. Don't worry so much about, like, is this fully automated? Right now, is it making everything better? When you figure out, as anybody who knows process does, the moment you figure out the process, then you'll figure out the repeatable nature of it and how to do it over and over again. Then you're moving into agentic.
Right. Very good. Well, I appreciate your time. Final question. Why do we care about this?
It's a great question. Ultimately, I think we're getting back to the core. We're in the business of helping customers with their technology. This is clearly a change in the way we're going to be delivering technology. I'm not sure it's all shaken out. I think we don't, I don't necessarily know if all the ways this is going to go. I'm not exactly sure all these companies are going to make a lot of money, but I know a transformative technology when I see one. I saw it in the internet. I saw it in cloud. I saw it in mobile. The pieces are here. And right now we're in the let's figure it out stage. And I think the best way to do it is both on yourself, but then also help clients figure out the way that they can do it well.
Very good. Thank you for your time. And we're going to send everybody to businessof.tech.
Thanks, Carl. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this useful, interesting, or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. Please check out the show notes at smbcommunitypodcast.com and give us your feedback.